This is the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, and we have been talking quite a bit this week about Bill Cosby, particularly the revelations that have come out from, well, not just one accuser, not just two accusers, but now more than a dozen, maybe as many as 16 different women who say that he sexually assaulted them over a span of time that goes all the way back to 1969. A lot of these allegations had actually come out over the course of the years, but nobody really paid much attention until recently. And of course, this week it turned into a firestorm that has caused him to have TV appearances canceled, reruns of his shows pulled off of networks like TV Land. And the fallout may only be beginning for Bill Cosby. Fallout that maybe should have been there years ago if people had just paid attention to, well, my next guest. His name is Mark Ebner. He's an investigative journalist and an author who wrote about Bill Cosby 7 years ago and has continued to investigate him for his website, Hollywood Interrupted. He joins me now. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on the show, brother.
Yeah, my pleasure. What did you know about Bill Cosby 7 years ago that we didn't learn until this week?
Well, what I knew was, being on the ground, boots on the ground, entertainment slash crime journalist, word on the street for years out here is that Bill Cosby has been allegedly philandering and sexually abusing women for years. So finally, acting on a tip that put me in touch with one of his accusers, I got the tip from a colleague. I spoke to the woman. She's recently revealed herself as Joan Tarshis, and she was a former Hollywood publicist out here. She told me her story. Then I went and got another source. I got in my car and drove up to Northern California and interviewed attorney Tamara Green, who went on the record with me. And then by proxy through her lawyer, I got in touch with that Canadian woman, Andrea Constand, the one who not only made these accusations, but reached a settlement with Bill Cosby over this. So three sources, that's gold standard journalism, Paul. I wrote the story, and it got absolutely no traction. In fact, when I tipped the AP Newswire, they responded to me, "We don't want to libel Mr. Cosby," which, I responded, "Hey, F you. I mean, when that you're impugning my integrity as a journalist if you're even insinuating that I'd be libeling the man." We know. This is not the court of law. This is journalism. I got three sources. I ran the story, and nobody touched it until, within the last 64 hours when the Daily Beast ran an updated version of my story. Called I Told You So.
Yep, and that's part of the pattern of what we've seen with the non-coverage of Bill Cosby and his sexual assault, or at least the allegations about them, for the last decade or so, which is media outlets and, in some cases, prosecutors that just didn't want to go forward with it because he had this image as America's favorite dad, one of the most trusted people. We've loved him since he was first on TV, even doing stand-up in the 60s and then through I Spy and his CBS series and, of course, the NBC series of the 80s that was such a mega hit, and his stand-up appearances, and he's a money-in-the-bank talk show guest. And people just didn't want to see that there could be another Bill Cosby that they didn't know. But if they had just paid attention to you and others, we would have learned more. So let's talk about the media covering this up.
It's like Hollywood Interrupted Revisited. Shameless plug. The book I did in 2004, we were saying this back then, this media complicity, protecting these celebrities. And there's another reason too. The more power you have as a celebrity in Hollywood, the bigger guns you can have acting as a mouthpiece for you. And by that I'm saying lawyers. And really, if he wants to dig himself any deeper into a hole of misery, it's to have lawyers do the talking for him. Bill Cosby's first lawyer that stepped out and said, he said all the women, they're all discredited. Now, how irresponsible is that? These women have been on the record. One of them has a gag order settlement with him, Andrea Constand, and he's tarring her with a comment like that. And you can be sure that her attorneys got back to Cosby's attorney and said, "Turn it off. don't even allude to the fact that, that I've been discredited. Because the fact is, I haven't. You paid me off. Now, the media is, it's literally just one of those things. Part of it is fear of getting sued, you know, by this battalion of lawyers that Bill Cosby pays $500 plus an hour for. And, you know, they're billing all day right now, you know. And, so I think it's a combination of fear, and I think it's a combination of protecting their celebrities because they use them as a bargaining chip. And, you know, from the tabloids to networks, they don't want to offend these people because, hey, they may want to use them for some other promotion they want to do down the line. It's an age-old story in Hollywood journalism.
The woman you're talking about there, Andrea Constand, was a 31-year-old University of Arizona basketball star. She worked later at Temple University. And
yeah, she was a real educator, Paul.
Yep.
You know, this is a woman not to be trifled with. I'm sorry, go on, Paul.
And you tell the story in your column that was in the Daily Beast this week that after this dinner party in January of 2004, Cosby drugged her in his mansion in Philadelphia and touched her breasts and put her hand on his genitals, and that she awoke with her clothing in disarray in the sense that she'd been violated. A very similar story to that we've heard from so many other women. But I find it ironic that the settlement that Cosby came to with Andrea Constand also helped to keep down the story and keep it from getting out, because there were 10 women who were going to testify on her behalf as other women who had been sexually assaulted by Cosby. And once that was settled, they kind of had to crawl back to their lives of, well, I don't know if they had lives of shame, but certainly their story was, again, hidden away, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And let me just correct you. It was 13 women who were willing to be party to that civil action.
Yep.
13, and now we have, I believe, 16 or 17 accusers. You've got former model, what's her name?
Janice Dickinson.
Thank you, Janice Dickinson. And you've got Lou Ferrigno's wife, Carla. I mean, who's next on the hit parade here? I don't mean to make light of it, but going back to what you were saying, of all these women, check it out, my sources. One is a, you know, these are women who are deep into middle age now. One, Joan Tarsius, is, has moved on with her life, lives in Woodstock, New York. Tamara Green, upstate California. Andrea Constand, from Philadelphia to Canada. I mean, these women, do you think for a moment that they conspired to get their stories together? They didn't even know each other.
Yep.
And yet they were all saying the same thing.
I have a lot of questions about this, but one of them is, why would these women lie? I asked that when Barbara Bowman's piece appeared in the Washington Post a little over a week ago. She can't get anything out of Cosby. She can't have him prosecuted. I don't understand what her motive would be to lie about him. It's not like women want attention for being raped.
No, certainly not, Paul. And the other thing is, you know, from a journalistic perspective, I can tell you, listen, I write about crime day in, day out, and I can spot, I pride myself into being able to spot the angle shooters and the con artists. And, you know, the people that are trying to work, you know, tabloid media for money. Not one of these women asked me for a cup of coffee. You know, they told their stories generously and emotionally. And my gut feeling is I believe them.
Now, I want to go back to something you were talking about a little while ago, which was Cosby and his lawyers. I'm sure you have seen the video of an Associated Press reporter daring to bring this up with Bill Cosby, and Cosby said no comment, which was more than he said to NPR's Scott Simon at the same time. NPR aired that audio and talked about how Cosby wouldn't say a word, but the AP reporter had him on camera, and he said no comment. And then after the interview was done, but while the microphones were still on, everybody and the cameras were still rolling, Cosby said, I'd like you to scuttle that. Because I don't want to impugn your integrity here. And he kind of tried to bully this young AP reporter into not putting anything out there about these sexual allegations that were back in the news, even though it is absolutely a valid question to ask somebody when they are in the news. And there were no off limits instructions ahead of time, saying, look, we'll do the interview, but don't, and we won't do it if you ask about this. That was never said. But
right.
But afterwards, yep. Cosby brings in one of his people off screen. I don't know if it's a manager or an agent or a lawyer or some kind of representative, and he actually tells them, you're going to have to call this guy's boss and make sure this never sees the light of day. And it didn't for almost a week until right. the AP decided yesterday to let it out, and I played it on the show yesterday. So
sure.
All of that tells me a lot about Cosby's ability to intimidate both himself with the tone of his voice and that of his representative standing there, I guess, in a threatening manner. And I can't imagine how much that was even worse for these women.
Well, and of course, and not only that, Paul, but remember, this is a guy who spent, you know, over five decades on television, right?
Yep.
This is a guy who didn't even know he was live mic'd, you know? I mean, come on. You know, he may be, you know, getting up there in years. I believe he's 77. He's
yep.
losing his vision.
Yep.
You know, poor me, poor me. You're on a live mic, buddy. You know, this is how it works. You do television, you should, you know. And yes, he was bullying that AP reporter. And isn't it interesting that, you know, going back to what I said about the AP ignoring my story in 2007 and practically straight out accusing me of libeling Mr. Cosby, all of a sudden now that I've called them out on a national platform, that's when they start, you know, disseminating this stuff. You know, I'm not going to take credit for it, but I will say this, did you happen to see Glenn Beck's reaction?
No.
Oh, my God. You got to look YouTube this. He calls what the AP did to Bill Cosby, he called it rape by media. So, in essence, he's making a rape joke about, you know, about the AP and what they did to him, like they sandbagged him.
Completely
or something.
Wrong. Completely yeah. wrong.
Yes, of course.
Now, I do have to ask you about Camille Cosby, Bill's wife of many, many years, who in those interviews with the AP and with others is sitting right next to him. And she knows about these allegations. She knows that the NBC sitcom is canceled, that Netflix has withdrawn the streaming video of one of his concerts that was supposed to be released on the day after Thanksgiving. She knows about the kid he had out of wedlock with a woman who got into legal hassles with. Yeah, sure, right. She knows about all that sort of stuff. Is she an enabler?
Well, enabler to say the least. The problem is that, who knows, she may be in prison, you know? She certainly looks at it. I mean, this is just speculation, Paul, but check out the body language on that video. You've got Bill Cosby sitting there all, you know, just completely scrunched up with his hands over his crotch. I'm serious.
Yep.
Watch this. You have her leaning away from him. They couldn't be further apart sitting side by side with a smile, a pained smile plastered on her face. You look at those images and you can't tell me, you know, that this woman is either, you know, is either imprisoned by Bill Cosby or conversely, she's like kicked him out of her bedroom a long time ago when she realized he was philandering with Sean Upshaw.
And is she just sticking around for the money?
Well, you know, I mean, listen, this is,
The reason I ask is because she would, I mean, if she divorced him, she would get the gold that the Golden Goose has now.
Oh, without question, no dilemma. Of course she would. But then at the same time, I think she's probably just too deep in. And, you know, for whatever sick reasons, you know, and I say sick not to, you know, to attack Camille, but I say it only because, you know, she's still there. She's still around. It's amazing to me that she didn't, you know, kick him to the curb years ago when she knew he was having an affair with Sean Upshaw.
Right.
And, you know, she is aware of all these allegations. You know, it's the uptick is what, 16 or 17 right now.
Yep. Last question I have for you, Mark. What happens to Cosby now? Does he have anything left as a career?
Well, he has nothing left as a career. They canceled his Netflix special.
Yep.
They canceled a new series that was in development where he was going to resurface as America's granddad.
Right.
And his live appearances are dropping, you know, daily. Letterman appearance and a Queen Latifah appearance. He's done as far as his career goes. And if he wants to maintain any kind of just, here's what I say. My advice to Mr. Cosby is call off the lawyers. You know, I don't care if you do it on Oprah or whatever, but you ought to step up and address these allegations like a man.
You expect him to ever come forward and say, yes, I did sexually assault and or rape 16 different women?
You know, no, I don't. But you know what? On the other hand, if he looks into his heart, it's probably the best thing he can do. And then, you know, he can do other things. He can, you know, listen, the statute's up on these. He knows he can't be prosecuted. But if he wants to repair his image in any sort of way, start making donations to sexual abuse victims, you know? I mean, just do something, you know, because in my mind, 16 women can't be wrong.
Mark Ebner is an investigative journalist and author. His website is Hollywood Interrupted, and his Daily Beast piece is called I Warned You About Bill Cosby in 2007. Mark, thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thank you, Paul. Have a good one.
I'm Paul Harris. This is The Big Five.